The Coast Guard icebreaker Healy and Russian tanker Renda will begin icebreaking operations this morning in preparation for their outbound journey from Nome. Healy Executive Officer Greg Talapa says the Renda has been taking on provisions and fresh water. He says the Healy will begin warming its engines and coordinating with helicopter reconnaissance flights to chart a south by southeast path away from Nome. But first, they'll have to dislodge the Renda from the ice.
We'll likely run a couple racetrack patterns or, you know, just big ovals close aboard to Renda. And with the north wind, hopeful that Renda will get dislodged out of its frozen in status.
If that doesn't work, Talapa says there are other methods to free the Russian tanker.
We'll have to do some what's known as a herringbone maneuver, which is you basically come in perpendicular to the ship and see if you can't break up the ice that's formed on the south side of the Renda, and just slowly but surely get it moving. The variability in the ice conditions will really dictate what happens.
Talapa says it's difficult to know exactly how frozen in place the Renda is, but he's confident the Healy will be able to provide the relief needed to free the tanker and begin carving a path to the south edge of the ice, which is about 400 miles away. Governor Sean Parnell yesterday made his first public comment on the resignation of a controversial state wildlife official, Corey Rossi. Parnell said he agreed with Fish and Game Commissioner Corey Campbell's decision to keep Rossi on the job, even after she learned that Rossi was being questioned as part of a criminal investigation.
Each case is going to be different, and who knew what when and all that. So my view is that when a person is charged with a crime that directly relates to their job, they need to be removed. Anything short of that is dependent on a case-by-case basis.
Rossi was charged last week with 12 misdemeanor counts related to an illegal black bear hunt that took place in June of 2008. Prosecutors say he lied on state hunting reports to cover up who shot three of the four bears killed in that hunt. Parnell and Commissioner Cora Campbell said they knew that Rossi was to be interviewed but did not know the nature of the investigation until after the charges became public. Rossi was director of the State Division of Wildlife Conservation. His lack of qualifications and advocacy of controversial predator control policies made him a divisive figure within the Department of Fish and Game. Parnell made his comments yesterday at a press availability here in Juneau. Governor Sean Parnell says he has not yet heard back from the CEOs of Exxon, BP, and ConocoPhillips. He revealed at his State of the State speech on Wednesday that he had just called each of them within the previous day to tell them that he expected them to make decisions on issues that were left hanging after their meeting in Anchorage earlier this month. Meeting with reporters yesterday, Parnell says there has been no agreement among the companies, although he is aware that company and state employees are meeting to work out details of his call to develop a natural gas project and settlement of Point Thompson litigation.
I think Alaskans are tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting. But I also will give them credit in the sense that I know from hearing from both my people at the Department of Natural Resources, as well as the company's executives, that these teams are working very diligently to try to pull the three companies together in alignment on a gas project.
Parnell insists that any new development needs to be done within the framework of AGIA, the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act. He says AGIA legal structure protects the state's interests. He recognizes that all three companies initially rejected participation in AGIA, and ConocoPhillips and BP have closed their competing project. Parnell was asked what he was hearing from those companies that gives him encouragement that they have changed their minds.
I think that's a better question to ask them, but I will tell you that the state of Alaska views the protections of the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act as significant, and Exxon thought them workable enough to come alongside TransCanada. And if the largest oil company, gas company in the world, thinks that they can work with the framework, they're not under the framework at this point, but thinks they can work with it, I don't see a reason why the other two companies might not as well.
Parnell also said markets have changed from the time the original offerings made, have changed from the time the original offers were made to potential Aegea shippers. He says the original offers were focused on delivering gas to North American markets, but the focus now is on exporting liquefied natural gas to the Pacific Rim.
Time and economics appear to have moved, which is why I've asked these companies to take a serious, hard look at LNG.
Parnell says the most important element of bringing companies into alignment over any project is resolution of litigation at Point Thompson. That was the first element that he called for during Wednesday's speech, and he says the gas from Point Thompson fields is essential to filling the pipeline. The federal coordinator for Alaska Natural Gas Transportation Project says Alaskans need to stop thinking of natural gas as the next oil. Larry Persley says the difference between the gas that would go into a line from the North Slope and the oil currently filling the Trans-Alaska pipeline is that the state needs a natural gas project more than producers or world markets need Alaska's gas.
We need the gas line for the decades of affordable fuel it's going to provide to Alaskans. Natural gas for rail belt communities, hopefully propane for everyone else. We need to accept that we need a line for the jobs, for the tens of billions of dollars in investment that it will bring along, and for the additional barrels of oil it will put into taps that will accompany all that exploration and development for gas. You know, after all those good things, there'll be some tax and royalty dollars too. Not nearly as much as oil, but it will be a thick icing on the sweet cake.
Firstly, says economics and Alaska politics are currently standing in the way of a line being built. When the legislature passed the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act in 2007, the idea was that North Slope natural gas would be sold in the continental United States. But with cheap and plentiful reserves of shale gas now available in the lower 48, some state leaders, including Governor Parnell, have decided to refocus efforts on exporting liquefied natural gas to the Pacific Rim. Persley says just because the bottom fell out of the U.S. market doesn't mean Alaska will suddenly be able to export its gas. For one thing, there's just as much competition in Asia as there is domestically. And for another, there are certain restrictions placed on exports.
You have to get an Energy Department license. Anybody who's followed the battles in Nikiski, where Cook Inlet Gas, ConocoPhillips, has been fighting with Department of Energy to get their license renewed over the years. You have to show the Department of Energy that you can take those BTUs, ship them overseas, and it will not hurt American consumers. It will not hurt the American economy. Alaska Gas needs a second approval under federal law. You also have to show to export gas off the North Slope overseas, you have to show that it is not going to harm what's called the Alaska Natural Gas Transportation System, the pipeline route along the highway to Lower 48. That's the law that passed Congress in 77. There's that protection in there. Doesn't mean you can't. It's just these are the hurdles you face.
Persley says it's time for state leaders to decide the best way to get Alaska's vast supply of natural gas to market. The problem is that those same leaders keep falling in love with different projects.
I'm sort of surprised we don't have a collective case of sexually transmitted disease because we've hopped in and out of bed with our favorite project over the decades so many times.
Personally dismisses talk that Alaska has missed its window of opportunity as far as gas is concerned. He says the market is constantly evolving and demand for Alaska gas will be realized one day.
As to which market, where it goes, you know, I think we need to position ourselves, get certificates, get designs, position Alaska for a couple years, see how the markets play out, and then hope that the state can work out a fiscal deal with the producers to let them take the risk to get it built into long-term what will be a profitable market.
Personally spoke last night to the Juneau World Affairs Council.